We will continue to talk about God's protection. And the main point of this series is from Ephesians 6, which is about God's armor of protection. So I want to continue from where Daniel ended about a week ago. If I want to a little bit repeat what he said, because it's important. And I see something of this almost daily in my life. It's very clear that me and my husband, we have very different backgrounds. And we have different ways to interpret what happens to us. And when I thought about this, it's a bit like the devil would have two different strategies. Either we would think that the devil doesn't exist, or then that he does exist and that he's very powerful, and that we need to really fight to come where we want to come. And that we continuously would need to be like on our guard against him. So these both camps, if one would say so, are like the extremes. I'm the one who kind of rationalizes away things many times. And this means that I don't believe that there's something to act on, really. And there, my husband has a very good natural reaction toward difficulties. He thinks that there is clearly a spiritual dimension here, and I feel almost like I need to go into this and need to pray for this. So I must say I kind of envy him that a bit, that it comes so natural. That first I need to go into this thought that, okay, it's not just natural. That then I can come to this, that we act. So I just want to say, as a like encouragement, if it's important things, and there is big wisdom here. And this to have peace in our lives. It comes from seeing what happens, and that at the same time trust in God. So this is a way to this is where it comes into the picture here with the armor, how Christians can act wisely. So it's like an armor for, and in this time we don't need to look so far in order to see a soldier. So Paul, when he was writing this, he was in prison, so probably very close to a soldier when he was writing. So the church he turned to, it's like a continuation of what they had learned, that God would have this role. But now it's in Christ that we can take this armor on us. I will read from Ephesians 6, verses 13 to 15. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. And then it continues with more offensive and defensive strategies. So this will be more in the next preaching in a week. But I will today talk about the truth as a belt and the breastplate of righteousness. And also the feet fitted with the readiness for the gospel of peace. It's interesting what he starts with. It's not the active parts of the armor, but it's the ones that parts that are important to be able to stand firm. That I have something that keeps me, holds me together, so to speak, the belt. And I also that now when you feel the belt is there, we can see that, okay, now we have this armor on. And that if I'm attacked, then I have this breastplate that protects me towards the worst attacks. And then also the shoes, which symbolize that there is a readiness. And also this point with the gospel, it's not about war and chaos to it firstly, but it's the peace. Then we can think for a moment what kind of, if we take away this belt, we might start to lose things and we cannot bring with us things. And the breastplate that we have, if this is like just hanging, if we take away the breastplate of righteousness, then maybe the reflex is, okay, I'm here in the war, but I feel very vulnerable, so I go and hide somewhere. I position myself behind the others because I don't have what the others have. Or then the feet. Then maybe your time in the war might be very short, because our feet are what are very vulnerable. Our feet, if we those who have stepped barefoot on a like piece of Legos know it can, for example, it can be very hurtful. This is important to think about. What is important for a soldier? It's more likely that this soldier will be fine in the battle if you're physically protected, the body. This armor that we get here in the Ephesians is a spiritual one. But it's also physical in the long run, but it's mainly spiritually, and helps us to stand firm. We start with the belt of truth. This is God's word. For example, in the Gospels, it says, Jesus says directly, "This is the truth." We don't need to seek it. Jesus starts with that. And then he teaches about different things. God's word also comes later in this armor. So we may need to widen this thought that the truth is like this red, thread through this. it's about letting our hearts be transformed, that we test our motives and to have pure motives. This is what can be this truth. Also, when God's word is the truth, when we build on that, so the truth that our life is like full of is like then compared to either a rock or sand in the Gospels. And it's not about, so in the parable that Jesus gives, it's not about like agreeing to the truth, so to speak. It's about hearing, but then also about acting according to God's word. And this is this life process that makes it interesting. There's always somewhere that we notice that, okay, that this was more like sand. I want to have a rock underneath me instead. This is what Jesus says about truth in John 8:31-32. And in the verse before, he says that this is something that Jesus said when many came to believe in him. Then he said like this, to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. That the truth is not just something important that we can have in our lives. It's about making the truth to the guideline in our lives. And that brings freedom into our lives. And it's also about turning away from things that are false. That actually our inner being might say that this is my opinion about this. But we might think that this is not dangerous. We might like sometimes flee or not really want to believe when the Holy Spirit talks to us. And it's interesting also that the armor, the description of the armor starts with this. So it's like one of the most important things. So another word for the devil is the accuser. So he tries to hold us back in debt or. And we might try to hide things or not really care about. We might think that, okay, this doesn't exist, or then that this is so big, I cannot speak about this. So then in this silence, things can grow instead, if we cannot speak about it. But then when we dare to take up things and speak about them, then it might not directly disappear, but it gets its right proportions. This is what it means also, that the devil is the accuser. So therefore we need to make a difference. When we are accused, there isn't so much hope in that. But for God, everything is possible. That we might think that this happened or that this has been a part of your life. And here we might also need help with from someone else. It can be about sin. It can be about how that we are honest about how we are feeling and how we are doing. And this is also a part that if we know that we have problems, but if we actively ignore them, then it's also difficult to pray for it. So if we think that this is difficult for God, then I might think that, okay, I choose to ignore it instead. Then we have kind of put ourselves in the way of the solution. This may be a personal reflection that you might test yourselves. So God already knows everything about us. So we can boldly come to Him with anything we may have done. And this is the thing, that we don't go to the accuser. So this is like more like a personal reflection. So it's also important to speak to someone else, perhaps, in this process as well. And this about God's truth is God's word. That we don't need to worry. I mean, God has been questioned throughout the Old Testament. God is not afraid of us being honest. God, so to speak, holds. He's a truth that holds. And at the same time, we also might need to test those truths that we may have accepted about ourselves. In John 8:44, we can see a little bit about the devil's character, so that we can see. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So I just want to say this, that if we get thoughts which like push us down, if we notice they go against God's truth in an absurd way, then don't accept those thoughts, and we don't need to panic before them, but choose to meet these with God's word. I have here a few examples. What you have received, you are not really worthy to receive from God. Or that God's promises about forgiveness are for all people in other situations, but not for you and not right now. Or then another type of, because God's grace is so big, so it doesn't matter what you do with your life, even if it damages you or others. So we can just boldly, we can like choose in our among our thoughts. That there is one who has like lies as his business, so to speak. But But the truth holds together our life and our Christian life. So this was this first part. And here Peter speaks. I want to read from 1 Peter 1 and 13. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. Here we also see one who is using the same words, that the truth is important, is a part of putting this belt around us. Then the second part, the armor of righteousness. As I said before, for a Roman soldier, this breastplate protected against a physical like attack. But in the spiritual, this is the corresponding for the spirit. It's the breastplate we have in the righteousness that Jesus has prepared for us. For just as though the disobedience of the one man, the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of the one man, the many will be made righteous. So this one man, of course, was Jesus. It is in him we have this righteousness. If we think this is difficult to understand, remember we have preached series about this. So please go into the archive that we have. And to from our congregation or from others where it's talked about this righteousness. It's important that we don't ourselves start to accept thoughts similar to the ones I told about before. For example, that others can be righteous but not me, or things like this. So it's what he did, Jesus did, that is the foundation. That we don't just accept this, that we really are God's children, that we can remind ourselves that God has created us in his image, that it is restored, that before Jesus we are good enough. And we don't need to ourselves try to make us shine somehow. That's not what the righteousness is about. That we in some way try to deserve the righteousness. So then this might lead also to us wanting to live differently. This is why he has given these guidelines. But that we, to begin with, receive this righteousness. This is not something we deserve, but this is God's grace toward us. We can, for example, read from Philippians 3:9. It says, and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith. So our righteousness before Christ was about that people would realize that this doesn't work in my own strength, but that we need God's grace. And we see it that for us, that the righteousness comes from God on the basis of faith. And this breastplate of righteousness, it can keep our heart clean and protect us in the same way as a Roman soldier's heart was protected by this armor. And here also a personal reflection. If you have a difficulty to accept this, if you want to feel that, what does it feel like now inside? Then look at it like a contract. Like a very an authoritative and like a very plain, and just accept that it, this contract, our righteousness, then God is a faithful partner, so to speak. He stands firm in this. He stands firm in his promises. So you can also choose to look at it in such a that way, if you find it difficult to feel this, then you can believe in it anyway. And the breastplate of righteousness, it also shows the protection that we have right now, that right now God sees us as restored. And not only that, that God wants to be our Father. At the same time, this righteousness might lead us to new step-by-step processes also. And it comes from this sense of safety, that we go toward toward becoming more holy, so to speak. It is this breastplate of righteousness that through that we can believe that God gives us. In Luke 18:9-15, there is a clear comparison here, where we can realize that this is God's gift to me, or that if we try to do this in our own strength. It's about a Pharisee and a tax collector so they both go to the temple to pray, and the Pharisee chooses one way to pray and the tax collector another. It says in verse 11 that the Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. But the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. I don't know how it is with you, but I see pieces of this Pharisee in others and in me. and that person seems to understand very little about this or that, but I understand much more. Jesus tells very clearly in this parable that it is this tax collector's humble attitude. Here we see this uncertainty that this tax collector has. That it's not about me being better than someone else. But it's about God wanting to give his breastplate of righteousness to us. And then lastly, I want to also talk about the feet of our willingness. Our feet land on different surfaces. It was interesting. These types of shoes, they were a type of sandals. And they had nails underneath them to get a good grip on the earth. So I can relate to this, that it's a whole different thing to have these like spiked shoes on the feet. So it's this kind of shoe that really works. Shoes is a help to have a good foundation. And here we see also that it's not just about the gospel, but it's also the gospel of peace. This is what the gospel is all really about. We can think that the like foundation of our faith, the gospel that we have in our lives, it's a gospel that helps people to find the right. Then Jesus says that peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. That we know what in reality is the most important thing. That not like that now quickly I need to be right in this conflict or in this dispute. And sometimes it also means to give up the right to be right or to be correct about something. The Bible doesn't tell us to make an exchange of peace. That this one deserves my peace and my peaceful attitude, but not that person. That then I can react in a different way. That we can choose to sow. And then we don't receive it back right away. It can take weeks or months or even longer. We can sow something, and still decades after that you can reap the harvest from it. That it's something we sow, that we can give generously of, that we can believe that this reward will come. That it will come then later at some point, and I can take part of it later. And this stable ground that that we can walk as if always on a stable ground. This we get from the gospel. And this is visible in practice in how we walk in our lives. If we walk in peace and we live in peace. And then this willingness that this would come naturally, that this is something I want to do. That we remember this transformation that happened when we chose something. And from there, this willingness can come. And according to the Bible, there are different types of peace that we can have in Christ. First, of course, the most important that we can read about in Romans 5:1, peace with God. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Not through ourselves, not through deeds, but through our Lord Jesus Christ. Another type of peace is between people, even though there are differences. Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And this we see in practice. In those people who Jesus chose as disciples, they were very, very different. So if all of them would have met on a street, they might have been very in very hot disputes between each other. They had different ways of thinking, different ways of meeting the reality they lived in, and they still learned to live together in peace. That we have this, what it says in Ephesians 4:3, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. When the world sees how you love each other, then they will see my love, that will be the witness. And we can have this peace of God as a guideline in our lives. So this can help us to see that, okay, now I may be going in the wrong way. Sometimes we might be led in the wrong direction, and we might need to be careful which route our feet take. And other things also can create peace. This is something active, something we can choose. But when others preach about it, just because something is a choice, it doesn't mean that it's always easy. I thought about it when I... It's nice to stand there by the door and greet you. It means that I experience God's peace. I've been this kind of organizer, guard, so to speak. And I know a little bit what can meet you when you stand at the doorway like this. And I have this kind of, so you need to see a person make a decision, are they a threat or not, and things like this. So at in this previous work of mine that I had for some time, I needed to assess people in this way. And then I might need to now think that, okay, now I need to choose differently or to think differently. So it comes with, and also that we get time in between what happened has happened before or what we've experienced before. So I just want to say that a lot what is said in the Bible is about choices. But don't be hard on yourself if you make the wrong choices. But see it as a process. This is what I want to say about this. To live a life in peace. This has worked in other areas also. So we can see this as a possibility or an opportunity that we have a choice. But so we can see this as a process. So what can we then receive from these first three parts of this armor? So the belt of truth, so we have a clean heart. And then this breastplate of righteousness, that we embrace the one that we are in Christ. And then the shoes. And this is a very good foundation to then pick in these other parts of this armor, which we'll speak more about in next Sunday.